Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Hey church, it is so good that you could join us today here on this First Fruits weekend. What an exciting opportunity that we have to step out in faith in this way. And what we're doing in terms of our First Fruits or any serving or giving that we ever do, it's out of our love, our praise, our appreciation, our thankfulness, our gratitude of all that God has done for us, all that we have, all that we are, all the good things that we have and experience in life, the Bible tells us are from God. And we're just giving back some of what he has blessed us with. And what a privilege that is. And at the moment, we're just taking a slight little hiatus out of the Acts series as Mick and I just felt in God that there's a couple of messages that we felt were timely to share at this season and around this topic of just being thankful and grateful in so many different ways. But Mick did a great job last week around just reminding us of the immense importance of just being so grateful for the salvation that we have, that it cost Jesus Christ his life for us to be set free from the sin that we were born into and have committed throughout our lives, and that sin that separated us from a holy, pure God. And there was nothing we could ever do in our own strength to bridge that gap and restore relationship. And so, we are so grateful for what Jesus Christ did. And Mick last week, he took us through the end of his message, that what is called the Romans Road. And if you've never heard the gospel of the good news, the good news of what Jesus Christ has accomplished and offers to us, and so many watching this have received this and live in this, and last week and this week as well, is about reminding us about the incredible beauty and wonder and awe and mystery of this salvation, this relationship we now have with a holy, perfect God because of Jesus Christ. How incredible. You know, Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. That's every single one of us. Anyone that's ever had a mother has fallen short. We're born into sin, but we all have done wrong stuff. And then it goes on in later in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of that sin is death. Yes, physical death came into the world when sin came in the garden originally, but also spiritual death came in, which is more sad and more eternal in consequence, and that is separation from God. But in that Romans 6:23, it says, but God is free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Jesus Christ came being fully God, took on humanity. It didn't decrease his deity. He was still fully God, fully man. And he was the only one that could pay the price in full for all of humanity. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the unblemished. He was the unspotted. He was the perfect lamb sacrificed to pay for the sin. And so he shed his blood on that cross, paying the price for your sin, for my sin, for humanity's sin. And it says in Romans 5:8 that, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Got to remember, all that God has done and who God is out of a motivation and an intent of love. And he sent Jesus Christ, his son, because he loves you and he loves me so much, to die that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That tells me that God, out of the mystery and wonder of giving us choice, knew that there would be people who would reject and not accept this gift of restoration of relationship, reconciliation with him. And so yet, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it says in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Goes on to say in verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So here we have this wonderful gift, this wonderful opportunity that cannot come through any other way. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved except through Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a phenomenal offering, a phenomenal statement, but a phenomenal truth. And if we're willing to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth and believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, shed his blood to pay the price, and he was buried but rose again on the third day into new life, if we confess that with our mouth, the Bible tells us you will be saved. And I guess for those of us that have done that, that we've taken that step of faith, we've decided to not direct our faith into something else in this world, ourselves or something else, but to project and to put our faith into Jesus Christ alone, to experience that salvation, as Mick said, is something amazing. I just been in awe of this so much, that God loved me so much, a wretched sinner. And I had this visualization of just this shirt that was so stained and vanished and soaker and pre-stain remover. Doesn't matter how much you wash it, it's kind of like there. That stain is just always there. And that's what like sin is in our spirit. And that sin, those stains separate us from a pure, holy God. And Jesus Christ comes, and when he shed his blood on the cross, it's that blood, sounds a bit weird, but it's his blood that is the only thing that cleanses me, enables me to be as white as snow, the book of Isaiah says. And what a phenomenal thing that is not only are my sins forgiven, and because of that, I'm no longer separated from God, but I come into this personal relationship with God. You know, and God, let me just say this. You know, the Bible talks about that we should bring glory and praise to God. God is not some kind of narcissist, megalomaniac that kind of like, he's perfect. He doesn't need our praise. But let me just say this. One of the important things about praise is that when we have a revelation of God's love for us, think about it. Who do you praise? I mean, who do we give acknowledgement or accolades to? It's people that impress us or want something that's wonderful or beautiful. You know, like my wife, she's gorgeous and I'm so blessed to have her in my life. And I think she's amazing and I adore her because of her beauty, because of her personality, because of who she is. And I like to tell people about that. You see, the things that we love, the things that we adore, we actually like to worship and glorify. And so C.S. Lewis actually said in his book Out of the Psalms, he said that, you know, love is not truly experienced until it is expressed. And so God isn't some narcissist megalomaniac that wants this worship to make himself feel good. He's complete and perfect in every way. But when we worship him in spirit and truth, it means we've got a real revelation of the salvation that we have, and suddenly the light goes on and I'm like, I'm in awe and I can't contain it, and I've got to do all that I can to worship him and honor him with my whole life and live a life that's pleasing to him when I get a revelation of what he's done for me. And so my true worship, when it's true worship out of spirit and in truth, God suddenly goes, now you get it, son, you've got it. You understand how much I love you. You've got it. And that worship to God is a reflection of the revelation that we've got of his love. So our worship for him is actually a reflection of his love for us. I mean, what a phenomenal thing. That's just one aspect of this no longer being separated from God, but getting a revelation through our salvation. Because the Bible tells us when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, something phenomenal happens. Not only do we get this restored relationship, but we're told that God actually breathes and he puts his spirit within us, a supernatural occurrence that can't happen in any other way. We are not fully alive on this planet until the Spirit of God breathes into us. Just as all creation hangs in the balance by God's providence and sovereignty, nothing can survive without God allowing it to, that we too spiritually cannot live or survive or are not truly alive until God breathes into us. Upon the confession of our faith, we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died and then rose again and paid the price. When we believe that and confess that, God says that his spirit comes to live within me. Let me read this from Ephesians for you. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who God's possession to the praise of his glory. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. So what we're being told here is that when we believe and confess, that the Holy Spirit's deposited like a seal, like one of those old school seals on a letter to prove that it was written by the actual author of that we get this seal through the Holy Spirit in our spirit that we now belong to God. We're adopted into his family. I mean, what an incredible thing that is, church. What a radical thing that the very Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in this. So my title for this message today is, what or who are you carrying? If you were to think about that for a moment, you might think about the burdens, the struggles. There may be people in your life that you love and care about that you feel as though you're trying to carry them. But I want to remind you as a believer in Christ that you are a carrier of the presence of God. Romans chapter 8 is a phenomenal chapter. The whole book of Romans is ridiculous because Paul is so ridiculously smart. And when you read the book of Romans, it's truly mind-blowing. It takes so much to get your head around. But in chapter 8, it holds some phenomenal truth around this area of what or who are you carrying and what I'm actually referring to here. And I just pray that in the next 8 or so minutes that you would get a fresh revelation in your heart, in your spirit of who it is that you're carrying. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 because we're going to just pick out some things out of this chapter that I believe are actually going to kind of like just breathe fresh faith, bring fresh joy and peace and excitement and energy, fresh zeal, fresh appreciation and gratitude into your life, fresh courage and strength and stability to get you through whatever it is that you're facing. So I'm reading in chapter 8 of Romans and verse 8. It says here that those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, when you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Have a listen to this. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, living in me, have a listen to this. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Let's jump down to verse 14. Radical thoughts. Hold on to that. What or who is it that you're carrying? The Bible has just told us here that we, upon the confession of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are carriers of the Spirit of God. Think about that for a second. Just think about what a phenomenal thought of that is, because when you think about who the Spirit of God is, just think about who it is that you're carrying for a second. That there, my friend, is mind-blowing. But take a look. Let's read on. Verse 14, it actually says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, which means we've been adopted into his family. He's grafted us into his family. He has unconditionally loved and accepted us because of Jesus Christ cleansing us of our sins. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Again, great, great hope, great promise. If the Spirit of God is in us, this is reminding us that we're part of God's family. He's our Heavenly Father. Hey, don't mess with me because you don't know who my dad is. We can take that approach when we face opposition in life. It's like I have this confidence, not because of me, but because of Christ in me, his Spirit in me, that I'm a child of the Most High God. Therefore, I am an heir of all that heaven has, and I can hold on to the hope and the promise and the assurance that my eternal destiny is secure in him, that he's got a place prepared. But not only that, he promises life and life to the full here on earth. Jump down to verse 24 with me just quickly. It says here, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Another great truth right here. This Spirit that we've been filled with and deposited in us is there to help us in our weaknesses. Jumping on to verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What a great encouragement. No matter what we go through, he's there working it all together. We don't get that. We can't see the infinite combination, permutations, possibilities, options. God sees them all and he's in control and he is working all things together for our good. Jump down to verse 31. It says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know, we've got a loving Heavenly Father that wants to bless us, has nothing but the best of intentions. And he actually says he's working all things together for good and wants to provide our every need according to his riches in glory. Let's go further down to verses 37 to 39. It says, "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a phenomenal thing is that when we've got the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who God looks at us and he sees that I'm acceptable to him because he doesn't see me, he sees Jesus, he sees the Spirit of Christ in me, so I'm acceptable to him. And he's free to lavish his love all over me because I've opened the door to relationship with him for that to flow freely. And I think there's this phenomenal sense that we've got to be reminded about who or what it is that we're carrying, all those things about being there to support us through our weaknesses. No matter what comes against us, nothing can prosper. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He's working it all together for our good, that there's nothing that can separate us from his love. But sometimes life doesn't feel like that, does it? Sometimes I think we get caught up in just the realities of life, and there's this battle against like the natural elements and the flesh of our lives, of us trying to kind of manage in this material world when we're called to walk in the Spirit, and there's this tension and there's this clash between us. And I just want to remind us today, remind myself who it is that we're carrying, the very Spirit of God. I think sometimes, and as I was praying for this, I just sense there's so many of us living beneath the fullness of the revelation of this text, of this message. And I pray today in these closing minutes, you'd get a fresh revelation of who it is that you're carrying. I believe that we should be living a dynamic relationship. The Holy Spirit is not stagnant. He's not dull. He's not boring. He's the creative force of the universe. He's the greatest power. And we are housing him in this body of just carbon, if you like, that God would grace us with this immense gift. Something that is dynamic is defined as characterized by constant change, activity, or progress. Or there is a force that stimulates change or progress within a system or process. And for us, the role of the Holy Spirit in us is the fullness of Christ in us, in his Spirit, over time through a process called sanctification, is that righteousness works itself out from the inside out, so we become more and more like Jesus Christ. What an incredible privilege it is through this salvation that Mick talked about last week. There's the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to just try and bring this home in the last couple of minutes today. Hey guys, so we've been talking about this incredible salvation and that we get to be carriers of the Spirit of Christ as part of this amazing salvation that we have in relationship with God. And so just want to talk about what this actually means on a daily basis for us. And that question is, who or what is it that you carry? But as Christians, it's who do we carry? And I want to try to remind us of that. You see, when I wake up and I step into my day and I start to go about my activities of daily living, it's not that I've left the Holy Spirit. I haven't left his presence in bed. He's not sleeping in and staying back there. He's not in the past. He steps into my day with me. He's not left back there. You see, as I take a step into life, I am told that he never leaves me or forsakes me. No, the Bible tells me that as I take a step ahead, as I keep my eyes fixed on him, forgetting what's behind, as I continue to trust in him and lead, I'm told that he stands in my future, calling me forward, that he's standing outside of time and space, and he's drawing me into my purpose and my destiny. The Bible says, hey, where does your help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I look to the hills from where my help comes from. I'm instructed to look to him for me, to guide me and to lead me through the steps of life and in my direction and purpose, that I can be confident that he is with me every step of the way, that he will enable me to take steps that my ankles do not turn, and he leads me on stable ground, that I'm told that where his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm told that he prevents me from walking into danger. He saves us from making silly decisions, hopefully, and he actually prevents us from actually stepping into danger. You see, my God, he actually, when I stumble and fall, if I make mistakes, he's a loving father that wraps his arms around me as I'm stepping through life. He doesn't leave me and walk away. He picks me up, he dusts me off and says, come on, son, you can do it. Keep stepping one foot in front of the other. He gives me that strength to put one step in front of the other. The Bible tells me that he strengthens me to advance against a troop, and that with his strength, I can step into my day and I can scale a wall. What incredible encouragement that is, that I'm told that his instruction, and that he leads me into wide open spaces filled with opportunity and possibility, that he broadens the path beneath me and I walk on solid rock and stable ground. He helps me to rise up and to stand firm, though the enemy comes against me, and the enemy will come against us as we desire to take forward steps in the pursuit of our purpose and destiny, that he says that there is no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Weapons will be formed, but they will not prosper. Why? It's because of who you carry. It's who I carry. The presence of God we carry, that he will enable that none of those weapons formed against us will prosper. I'm so encouraged as we continue to hold on to him and reminded of his power and his spirit in our lives, that he stands ahead of us and calls us forward, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I'm also told that he is behind me. He's my defender. He's got my back. He's got your back. That he is that gentle voice, Isaiah tells us, that saying, hey, Phil, this is the way, walk ye in it. Take these steps in the direction that I am showing you. I will not walk in the way of the wicked, and I will not sit in the seat of sinners, and I will not stand around and be a part of those who mock, but I choose to rely on, depend on his word. And I am encouraged that as I take my steps, reminded of who it is that I carry and is leading me, that mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And that is who we carry, church. That's life. But what about the circumstances? I can know all of that, but the reality of life is that life happens. And just because we come to Jesus doesn't mean life is going to be easy. They hated Jesus, and he says, be prepared for the world to not like you. But the reality of life says that pressure and stress will come, whether that's work. And as we step into the day, maybe we're stepping into the need to secure that contract or get that deal over the line, or there's that deadline that's coming. Maybe I'm waking up into relationship stress in my family or friends, or just because of the circumstances we find ourselves in, I feel like I'm carrying this weight and this burden more than ever before. Maybe it's exams for our students coming out for uni or school or postgrad studies. Maybe it's that, or maybe for some of us, you maybe haven't thought about this, but maybe for some of us, we actually having to juggle the complexities and the dynamic of momentum of success that God has brought into your world at this time, and all seasons that we go through in life, every season that we're in, high or low, they all have their pressure and they all have their difficulties. And so as we're going through life, maybe the pressure and the burden of that is becoming great. But I want to remind us today and ask us that question, who is it that you're carrying? You see, maybe some of us are carrying burdens and things are getting heavy for us because God hasn't created you to carry it. Maybe you've got to be reminded today that God's not expecting you to carry those things. So can I remind you, not what are you carrying, but who are you carrying? The very Spirit of God is in you to give the wisdom and the strength. I love that when I step forward into my day, I'm carrying the presence of God, which means, you know what, I'm carrying who God is. That means I'm carrying peace no matter what I walk into, and I walk into all sorts of different circumstances like I know you do, whether that's family, work, whatever, but I carry his peace. Ephesians 2:14 tells us that he is our peace and he's broken down every wall, that you're a carrier of the peace of God. You're a carrier of the power and the presence of God, that nothing can stand in the way of you experiencing that peace. And I pray you get a fresh revelation today of the peace that you're actually carrying. The reality is when we walk in peace, we make better decisions. When we walk in peace, we're a much nicer person to be around. We're actually just better people when we're walking in peace and in joy. You see, when anxiety is great within me, the psalm says, it is your comfort, your consolation. It is your love that breaks the weight of that. It's your word that says when I am anxious or when the burdens of life come, I have a choice to pray. And when I choose to pray, I start to get my faith stirred and I'm reminded of who it is that I'm carrying. I'm carrying peace. And suddenly that peace becomes overflowing in my life and I can function more optimally because I'm walking in His plan and purpose for me, which is peace. You see, when the burdens get heavy that you weren't created to carry, can I remind you, ask yourself, who am I carrying? I'm carrying the peace of God, the strength, the wisdom, the power of God. So no matter what your situation, if you're juggling the complexities of success, God says that why don't you come to me? Come to me and throw to me, cast to me, give to me your cares, your burdens, your worries. Give them to me because I care for you. You see, the beautiful thing is that no matter where we're at, the Bible says that we can ask at any time, God, give me wisdom. And it's His wisdom that He said He would give us generously. And He's a generous God that wants to give us that wisdom to make our way through all those situations and circumstances. So that's who we carry, church. We carry this incredible God that wants to give us wisdom and He wants to give us the peace. And we're carriers of that. And He is faithful and consistent through the ages. But what about when life comes and maybe it's not external factors that kind of encroach upon our world? Maybe there's a darkness that comes into our world that's an internal battle. It's not our external world, but our internal operating system starts to get overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And can I remind us of who we are carrying? We are carrying the presence of God. We're carrying the very Spirit of God. Like I said, He is depicted as oil and He's depicted as fire and power and warmth. You see, I want to remind us today that even though we take a step in our external world and our internal world may seem to get dark, can I remind us that God is light, that in the very beginning out of darkness and void and shapelessness, that God simply spoke and His light came into being. You see, darkness cannot expel the darkness, Martin Luther King said. Only the light can do that. Can I encourage us that, you know, when we take a step and it feels like things are getting darker and I take another step and suddenly things aren't getting lighter, they're getting darker. Can I just encourage and remind us who it is that you're carrying? You're carrying the presence of God. You're carrying that light. You're carrying that love. And things may get dark around us, but can I just say that the answer to your problem is not found in the darkness. It's found in the light. And as we begin to actually remind ourselves of who it is that we are carrying, we can allow that light to illuminate in our lives, in our hearts, in our spirits. Because the reality is when we're in darkness, we don't see that well. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to keep us in darkness. And for some of us, the enemy is coming against you and he's wanting to actually constrict you and suffocate and keep you in darkness. And he wants you to decrease your ability to be able to see. But today I want to remind you that the Spirit of God is there to illuminate, to bring to light, shine light into your darkness, to bring the light, the warmth, the love, the peace that you so desperately need. And so today, the Bible tells us that God is light, that Jesus is the light of the world. And He actually said in John that I am the light of the world. He who walks with me will not walk in darkness. Psalm 23 tells us that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley indicates darkness and tough times and trial. And it can feel like all of that. Our shepherd is with us. He never leaves. He never forsakes. That His rod and His staff, they comfort, they protect, they provide for us. I love that about our God. I love the fact that He is there always with us. So today, maybe you're in a situation where it just feels like it's incredibly dark. And it feels like there's no light at all. I just want to speak out that 1 John 1:5, God is light. In Him, there is no darkness. In heaven, there's not going to be any shadows. And today, I just want to say it may be just a slight flicker of light that you're experiencing. But can I remind you, that's who you carry. You carry the light of the world, His very presence to bring light into your circumstance and to those around you. And so today, church, let's be reminded who it is that we carry as part of this beautiful salvation that we get to experience. You know, church, as I wrap this up today, what an incredible privilege it is to be back in relationship with God upon the confession. What an incredible thing it is
that we have the Holy Spirit deposit in our life to be our courage, to be our strength. All that we need is found in Him. So as we draw to a close today, if you've never experienced this, what I'm talking about, and you don't have your own personal connection with God, you never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then I just want to say that today is your day. It's as simple as ABC. A is admit or acknowledge that you've fallen short. We've all sinned, the Bible tells us. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paying the price for your sin, was buried but rose again. And C is simply confess that with your mouth by a simple prayer. And just saying, Jesus, you know what? I fall short from your incredible perfection. Thank you for dying for me. Come and forgive me of all my sin. Come be Lord of my life and restore me into relationship with God and breathe into me this Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Phil's been speaking about. Just a very simple prayer that you can pray. If you're interested in that, or that's something you'd love to do, there's a little symbol on your screen right now that says raise hand. I encourage you to just press that button and fill out the details. We'd love to be in touch with you. The best decision you could ever make to experience the wonder and awe of this beautiful salvation and to live filled with the Spirit of God on a daily basis with you wherever you may go, to get you through from the mountaintop to the valley low. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. He'll be with you every step of the way. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. And we just wanted to thank you for just checking this out. And especially on this First Fruits weekend, our First Fruits giving opportunity that we have over this weekend is just merely another way in which we express our gratitude and thanks to an incredible God that we have. And it's just not out of obligation. For me, it's got to be out of a heart of praise and thanks for everything that He has done for us. What a phenomenal God we have. So thank you so much. God bless you as you give towards First Fruits this weekend. We're just amazed at what God has been doing and what He will do. And no doubt you're going to experience some great things. We'd love to hear about those. If way that God comes through for you as you step out in faith in this area. And if you've got any prayer requests or anything like that, make sure you get in touch with us. Let us know. We'd love to be praying for you and supporting you in any way that we can. But God bless. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.